It's time for three stories you should know, and this week we've got a trio of stories coming out of the NFL. I'm joined by The Washington Post's Cindy Boren and ESPN's Don Van Notte Jr. Welcome back to both of you.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Don, I'm going to ask you to start us off.
Well, I'm going to talk about a tale of two coaches. The story begins, it was the best of guaranteed contracts, and it was the worst of guaranteed contracts. John Gruden just signed a $100 million 10-year contract to coach the Oakland Raiders. Now, that's a big chunk of change for a guy with a fair amount of rust on him. Gruden hasn't coached since 2009. Since then, he's worked Monday nights for ESPN, of course, and become a big TV star. Gruden got paid because Mark Davis has a record $750 million in Nevada taxpayers' money defraying the cost of his new Vegas football stadium. So he's feeling flush, I guess, to let 100 mil of free money ride on John Gruden. Now, what's the complete opposite of Sin City and celebrity star power? Cincinnati and Marvin Lewis. Earlier this month, the veteran head coach of the Bengals was re-signed for 2 years. He'll be paid, well, I don't know, whatever the opposite of Gruden money is. And in 15 years as the Bengals coach, Marvin Lewis has tantalized fans in Cincy with 7 playoff appearances and lost all 7 games. This tells us a lot about the NFL's economics of expectations. For one thing, Gruden and Lewis both benefited from a perceived short bench of strong head coaching candidates. But let's look at it this way. If Marvin Lewis manages to win just one wild card game, he'll have improved. So I ask you guys, who's going to end up getting their money's worth?
Well, you know, you have to stop and think about all the money Mark Davis is saving on haircuts first. You have to factor that in as well. But what really matters in the NFL, besides a coach, you know, you need a coach like Gruden, someone who's a headliner who will come out and fan dance when they get to Vegas. But, you know, what really matters in the NFL is the quarterback. And, you know, if we're all kind of breathing deeply and looking at the $100 million contract that Gruden is going to get, just wait until you see what happens to the quarterbacks this year, guys like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I object a lot less to whatever the owner of a pro team wants to pay his head coach than I do to college coaches in basketball and football getting $6, $7, $8, $9 million a year to coach a bunch of guys who don't get paid. That's I'm more uncomfortable with that.
No, I agree with you. The thing that's really striking to me is less the money and more the 10 years. I mean, that is an eternity when you're looking at coaches' tenure. The average coaching tenure in the NFL is 4.3 seasons.
Cindy, let's turn to your topic.
Okay, now, Bill, this is one I know that's going to be really close to your heart, because I know that the only thing you love more than football plays are football replays. But I think we have to address this topic after last weekend. Remember when replay used to be instant?
Sure.
Well, if we learned anything from the first weekend of the NFL playoffs, it's that what should be the most exciting, the compelling football of the season is really being dragged down to just an absolute grinding halt by these lengthy reviews by people and, you know, possibly they're mole people who never see the light of day deep in the bowels somewhere of the NFL's plush Park Avenue headquarters. It was so bad that you'll recall that NBC's Al Michaels turned into Mr. Cranky Pants, you know, wresting the nickname away from you, Bill, during the Saturday night game. During this lengthy review of the replay, when he started lamenting how great the thing is about the NHL is that the last 2 minutes takes 2 real, honest minutes. Stop and consider that for a minute. Egads, he was actually praising another sport. A friend of mine suggested, facetiously, I hope, that we all go back to the pre-replay days. That seems like a wild overcorrection. But I think everyone will admit that among the many things the NFL has to address in the offseason is this.
Well, I was struck last Saturday night during that Falcons and Rams game. The last 48 seconds of the first half took 10 minutes. I actually clocked it. There was a play and a penalty, a play, a review of that play, and the ruling was confirmed. A play, a penalty, a review, and the ruling was reversed. A play and another penalty, and then a field goal. The last 2 minutes of an NBA game don't take 10 minutes. It's bad for the game. And one of the things that the NFL should think about doing is putting a clock on the folks back at 345 Park Avenue, 45 seconds or a minute to keep the pace of the game going, because it's one of the huge issues. You know, you've got games in the playoffs going 3.5 to 4 hours, and the millennials are not going to sit still for that.
I think you guys have got this all wrong. The NFL is all about marketing. All they have to do is shift the marketing a little bit and market the National Football League games as something that will help you go to sleep. And it's done, right, Cindy?
Oh, Bill.
And that's not cranky. That's creative.
It's creative. And, you know, frankly, it's a revenue stream that I'm stunned that no one has thought about in NFL headquarters.
It's the only thing they haven't monetized yet, Bill.
All right. My topic is last this week, but no less super for that. 5 years ago, it was decided on high that this year's Super Bowl would transpire in the $1.1 billion stadium in Minnesota. 5 years ago, the Vikings were awful. They went 5-10-1. This season, they are so good that they may become the first NFL team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. If that happens, what happens to the odds? Will the NFL make the Vikings stay in a hotel somewhere just like the opposing team rather than allow them to sleep in their own beds during the week before the game? How will Vikings fans react when they discover that although the Super Bowl is a home game, tickets will not be available because they've all been gobbled up by corporate partners and other one percenters? If you're a bureaucrat in the NFL office, one of those mole people perhaps, you are really hoping that anybody but the Vikings wins the NFC Championship, right, Cindy?
I don't know. Aren't the prices of tickets going to go through the roof? And I believe we've established that the NFL likes money. I have a friend who has been a Vikings fan his entire life, and he is looking at buying tickets. He is convinced, and he's ready to cash in his 401k plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope he has deep pockets if he's looking to buy tickets to that game. Don, you are a Vikings fan, right? So I don't know.
Yes.
This is good, right? I don't know.
I don't know if it's good. Well, first of all, I've been a Vikings fan since the age of 8. Mm. And the last time the Vikings were in the Super Bowl was in 1977. I was 13 years old, and the Raiders crushed us. The team constantly invents new ways to break my heart. Bill, if they don't make the Super Bowl, I'm going to blame you for jinxing them with this segment. I'm going to be there, guys, for ESPN. I don't have to pay for my ticket. I've got a media pass. So the pressure is even greater this year. I want to root on my team to win the Super Bowl in their home stadium. But we just got to get past Sunday's game at this point. I mean, you know, one step at a time.
I'm just terrified that Don's going to end up being a jinx. You know, all this is going to come down on Don if they don't win.
I've been blamed before by fellow Vikings fans.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been The Washington Post's Cindy Boren and ESPN's Don Van Notta Jr. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.